We live in stressful times, don't we? The stresses of life seem to be at an all-time high today. And over the years, there have been many practical ways in which we can cope with stress. About 20 years ago, you could go to any bookstore or the library, and the bookshelves, you would see many books to help you cope with stress and to help you get a good night's sleep. Now, there are apps on your phone to help, but the thing was, you had to know what was giving you the stress and the anxiety in the first place. The manager I worked for about 15 years ago was a great manager, a great people person, and didn't go along with all the PC nonsense we have that's creeping throughout our local government. But a change in his management style had to happen because he said what was what. There were a lot of fiery meetings when the chiefs from the town attending our meetings for major upgrades to the wastewater plants. I was supervisor of wastewater plants in Dunedin here. My friend and I told our manager that he needed help, as we couldn't decide who would give him the kiss of life if he had a heart attack. We found out he had family issues, and his wife was really, really ill. And the cost-cutting on main projects at work that was causing him multiple stress patterns in his life. He spoke to his doctor, who fitted a monitor to measure stress. The monitor would beep, which would enable him to pinpoint something that was causing elevated stress in his life. He was doing more walks with us during lunchtime and feeling a lot better with practical solutions the doctor had described. About 3 weeks later, we had our monthly meeting with the bigwigs from town. The atmosphere was good until an under-manager walked in, and the monitor beeped continually. My friend said to her boss, so the laughter died down, "You better answer that phone. It must be important." So he went out. My friend and I realized that the under-manager was undermining a lot of the decisions and discussing amongst the senior managers behind his back. My old boss is retired now and is enjoying life. I've met him a few times in the supermarket. He's very punctual when he goes through there, picking up the items he has on his list. And he has a good night's sleep now, away from all the backstabbing. I've been reading through Psalms, I think I told you last week, over the last few months, and I found Psalm 3 and 4 very interesting, helpful with stress. But you have to read all of 2 Samuel for a better understanding of these two psalms. Now, I would encourage you to read all of 2 Samuel this week sometime. It's not that long. It doesn't take you that long to do. But it will certainly help. Now, we're turning, first of all, for our first reading, we're two readings, 2 Samuel chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 13. Now, if you haven't got Bibles, don't worry. I didn't have the time to get the thing up on the screen. I hate working with electronics because it always turns to disaster on me. But never mind. If you've got your Bibles, open them. So we're looking at 2 Samuel chapter 15 and beginning to read verse 13. This is the chapter about Absalom's conspiracy against his father David. He wanted to overthrow his father and take the crown and the throne. And we take up the reading at verse 13, and this is David's reaction to Absalom's rebellion. Let's read 2 Samuel. Only a few verses in this one, but I'll say when you get home, read the whole of 2 Samuel. It'll really, really interesting. Get my glasses. Printing's a bit small. So it's 2 Samuel 15. And we're starting at verse 13 to 17. It's got at the top here, David flees. A messenger came and told David, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." Then David said to all his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, "Come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or we will move quickly or he will move quickly to overtake us and bring ruin upon us and put the city to the sword. The king's officials answered him, "Your servants are ready to do whatever our lord, the king, chooses." The king set out with his entire household following him, but he left 10 concubines to take care of the palace. So the king set out with all his people following him, and they halted at a place some distance away. Then Psalm 3, and beginning to read at verse 1, and you will see if you have a reference Bible or a marginal version of the scriptures, you may see a little note above, below the title of the psalm in Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And I'll read a few verses from Psalm 4. Incidentally, Psalm 4 is probably also a psalm written at the same occasion of Psalm 3. And I'll read Psalm 3 now. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Selah. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me with his holy hill. From his holy hill. Selah. I lie down and sleep. I awake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be your people. Selah. Let's open with a word of prayer. Almighty and everlasting Father, we give you thanks for our worship this morning and being able to sing praises to you for what you've done in our lives. Help us understand your word as we grow close to you in the reading of scripture. And help us in our witness to others we meet daily. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to speak to you this morning about how to obtain stress-free sleep. It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? But we can. And I'm sure you will agree with me that technology is advancing at a rate that we can hardly observe. Everything seems to be so fast in the changes taking place. Now, when you go into a phone store for a new phone or some other electrical establishment for, say, a computer. As soon as you walk out the door, it's out of date and there's a new upmarket model, one on the shelf taking its place. It's the same with a car. Everything is either depreciating or increasing in technological advances. Now, technology has, believe it or not, advanced to such a stage that people in a workplace where there is a great deal of noise going on, perhaps in a factory, workshop, production, business, even noise around your home, mowing the lawn or in the kitchen, even playing in a musical band. Many of you have had to listen to a lot of noise and have been daily exposed over the years to what they call now noise pollution. Strange word. A lot of us oldies like myself are suffering now with hearing loss. My wife will put her hand up for that one. Yeah. Okay. But technology around can silence that noise in the workplace. It's called the anti-noise device. And it's not earmuffs, but the anti-noise device is an electronic gizmo. Now, I've read and learnt that it produces mirror images of the sound waves that are creating the disturbance. And it sort of acts against it and cancels out the positive waves with the negative ones. Now, outside noise can be cancelled by attaching a device to the window now. Another personal device is earphones that we're all used to. And it emits these sound waves and cancels out the noise. And the result is absolutely silence if you've got the earphones on. Now, where we find ourselves today and indeed where we find ourselves throughout this year, especially, and last year, perhaps in your individual life and experience and problems and trials and so on. The question begs, can we as believers cancel out our fears, our anxieties and our troubles? Does God have, if you like, an anti-noise device? As we read to Samuel 15, and indeed look at Psalms in 3 and 4, we see that David, like ourselves, found himself in stressful days. The context, as we've already looked at in Psalm 3, was probably written when David was exiled from Jerusalem because his son Absalom wanted to steal the throne and the crown and the kingdom from him. Where we find David in Psalm 3 and 4 is running away through the valleys and the hills of Judea for two whole nights, laying himself down to sleep, not on a bed, a royal or regal bed or comfort and luxury, but on a bed of anxiety, lying out on rough rocks on the hillside. There in the hills and the valley, there was no protecting guard in the palace and corridors and chambers that he was used to. But rather there was the fear and the threat and the danger of wild animals all around him. I think we can sympathize with David in his despondent spirit in Psalm 3. He is living in stressful days, perhaps some of the most stressful days of his life, when even his son, a son that he loved so much, that when his son died, he said, "Absalom, my son, oh, that I would have died for you." What a dagger it must have been in David's heart to have that son stab him in the back. David describes his problems and trials, stresses and pressures. And in verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 3, "O Lord, how many are my foes? His problems were increased." Then he uses this word, "How many rise up against me?" In verse 2, he uses it again. "Many are saying of me, God will not deliver me." Selah. If you're familiar with the Psalms, you will know that Selah is a pause that may have been used for the musician or for the person who was reciting the psalm. But the pause is there not just for a musical interlude, but for a moment of contemplation. The reason I pronounce Selah, that word, is because it sounds so Scouse. Now you say, what's Scouse? Well, from Liverpool, a Liverpudlian as myself from England, a Scouse expression is, "I'll see you la," meaning "I'll see you later," or "la" is a person. So you say, "Hi la, how are you doing?" So, "see la" means a lot to me. It's contemplation. It suggests that David was listening to his accuser saying, "Is there no help for me and God?" And thinking to himself, are they right? Is God there at all? Is God a God of salvation? Is God a God of deliverance? And if he is, why am I out on the hilltops of Judea fleeing for my life from my own son? I wonder, have you ever asked the question, if you're not asking it today, is there any help for me from God or in God? Is there any help for us in the circumstances of life where we feel that everything is caving in around us and upon us, and we're living in stressful days and we can't cope with the circumstances? David was there. And that comforts me, it really comforts me, and I hope it comforts you to know that the great psalmist of Israel comes to God and opens his heart and pours out all the strain and the stress of life. It seems that stress of life's pressure today is our 21st century are at an epidemic proportion. Whatever we cite the problems to be that are causing our stress and our strain, it seems that everybody in some shape or form to a smaller or larger extent is suffering from the pressures of life. Reading and looking at statistics over a few years, this is mind-blowing. 43% of adults suffer adverse health effects due to stress. We all need a level of stress in order to be healthy. From time to time, everyone can feel sad, depressed, anxious, tense, or afraid. The afraid one, there are common and natural human emotions that God has given us that helps us survive. But sometimes these feelings can become so overwhelming that coping with day-to-day life, work, leisure, and relationships becomes difficult. Did you know worldwide there are more than 2,000 self-help titles published each year and have produced sales of millions upon millions of dollars, from CDs, DVDs, and apps, reproducing sounds of forests, oceans, birds, and rainfall, to yoga, to Eastern exercise of mystics, not to mention stress beads and body rollers that you roll up and down your head. Have an easy one for me because I've got no hair to stop it. But the stress there, what does that tell us about stress? I think it tells us that for many people in our society, and Christians are not exempt from this, they find it hard to cope with the pressures of life. I wonder, am I talking to you today? It's hard to cope at times, isn't it? Problems in your family, amongst your friends, financial strains and stresses, bills that have to be paid no matter what the wage is coming in. Now, I don't know whether you know, do you know Annie Johnson Flint? And many of you know Annie Johnson Flint. She's a poet and who wrote so many poems that speak so vocally to all our hearts, wrote one on pressure and stress, and it went like this. Pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength, pressed in the body and pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll, pressure by foes and pressure by friends, pressure on pressure till life never nearly ends. I'm sure there's not one of us here that have known stressful days. But stressful days can lead, as we see in the psalm, to sleepless nights. Now, sleepless nights are the potential fallout of stressful days. And there was great potential for David to experience out in the wilderness and the hills of Judea, night after night on these rocky, uncomfortable beds, great stress and anxiety as he thought of what was going on in the palace. I'm sure there's not one of you that has not experienced sleepless nights at some time, when you just can't get something out of your mind and out your head, and it robs you of the tranquility and that peace that is necessary, that is physiological, where the muscles of your body relax and allow you to sleep. Charles Dickens, would you believe, the great author, could not sleep until his bed was laid along a north-south axis. Only then did he sleep like a baby. And millions of dollars of drugs are consumed each year, and all types of sleeping tablets are available to get you to sleep. Let us look for a moment at the danger that David was in. He threatened to lose his kingdom, his health, his wealth. He even threatened to lose his life. And the great king of Israel is running away. Many would say running away scared, although he wasn't, that may have been the way it seemed to most. Running away from his problems. And I think he had plenty of stresses to keep him sleepless, don't you? Yet what did he say? Look in verse 5, will you? I lay down and sleep. I awake, and because the Lord sustains me. And Psalm 4 again, written in the same circumstances, end with the same sentiment in verse 8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. Now, one thing I love about the Psalms, and I think this is one of the reasons why we all love the Psalms so well, is that we can identify with his circumstances and his situations. And he is brutally and blatantly honest with us. There is no false piety and hot air with the psalmist. He tells it like it is. He pours out his heart, out the way he feels. He breaks it before God. And then we often, don't we, find this crescendo that he starts being down in the dumps. And there's a scene change to where he moves his eyes upon God in Christ. And I believe, and this depth of heart despair is raised to the heights of heavenly glory. It tells us, if nothing else, that is possible in the depths of life's most darkest experience to still have hope in God, even to still get a good night's sleep. Is it possible for you? Well, yes, isn't it? You have the same God, don't you? David's God. And although everything was against David, what made the difference to David was he knew that God was for him. If God was for him, all those things, though they were against him, could not prevail over him. If you look at verse 3 of chapter 3, he took comfort in the fact that God surrounded him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. Do you know that God surrounds you? No ill can come to you against the will of God. As one great man of God said many hundreds of years ago, I am immortal until God's time. God surrounds us even when we lay down our head on the pillow after a day when everything has gone against us. And the thoughts of the evil one would penetrate our minds to disturb us. We can have God around about us. God is round about us, the old hymn says. And can I be dismayed? That hymn is one we used to sing at school. It's called In Heavenly Love Abiding. And that's the final line of the first verse. God is about us and I can be dismayed. In verse 5, the second thing he takes comfort in, I lie down and sleep because the Lord sustains me. Not only does the Lord surround us, but the Lord sustains us. He keeps us going when we feel we cannot keep going, when there's nothing to keep going for. Even when we're unconscious to the rest of the world, he sustains us in verse 7. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God, strike all my enemies in jaw and break the teeth of the wicked. He is a shield. He sustains me and he saves me. Here is David discouraged through all his circumstances, lying on a hard, rough bed of anxiety and fear in the wilderness. Yet he knows that even if the people are against him, even if his own flesh and blood was against him, and verse 3, but you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. God who sustains, a God who saves, and a God when everything's not going your way, not the way you would like it, a God who lifts up your head and brings you glory. Ponder this thought. When there are stressful days and sleepless nights, the pill for those sleepless nights is a sleepless God. A sleepless God. Look at prayer in verse 7. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God, arise, the battle cry for God to take the field to defend his people. I tell you, whenever you find yourselves in circumstances where life is against you and we're experiencing such stress that we cannot even get a good night's sleep, we need to give ourselves to prayer and pour out our hearts to God and say, arise, O God, like David. David could pray this prayer. Why? Because he knew. In Psalm 121, he knew that the one who was hearing his prayers, who would answer them, was the one who had said already in verse 3 of Psalm 121 and verse 4, he will not let your foot slip, even though I'm out of Jerusalem and out of the palace and off the throne, he will not suffer my foot to be finally moved. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. He knew that God's salvation was real because God's sleepless eye is over and on his children. We have a sleepless God. Maybe you're here this morning or in the past recent days, you've said to yourself, God hasn't come through for me. God hasn't risen for me. And let my enemies be scattered. He wasn't there when I needed him most. Where is God in my circumstances? Where is God today? Where is God in all our fear? Where is he? Now turn with me for a moment to Mark's Gospel chapter 4. Mark's Gospel chapter 4. Well-known passage of scripture. This is the very famous portion of scripture that was blessed many when things look bleak. And I'll start at, it's when Jesus calms the storm. I'll start at 35. Glasses. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now reading that passage, you think, and again, the disciples, they thought their Lord didn't care. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" they said. "Lord, do you not care?" And the Lord rebuked them and said, "Why are you so afraid? How is it that you do not believe?" The Lord rebuked them, not for disturbing him with their prayers, but disturbing themselves with their fears. Isn't that what we do? We disturb ourselves with our fears. David could say in Psalm 114, "The sea saw it, God's salvation, and it fled. Jordan was driven back, the mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs. And there our blessed Redeemer, Lord Jesus Christ, Master and risen, glorious conqueror and friend, stands in the storm and says, 'Peace be still.' And the wee faithless creatures turn to him and marvel and say, 'What kind of human being is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?'" The psalmist asked the question, and we must ask it today. Why should I stay awake all night when the Lord never slumbers nor sleeps? What's the point in both of us staying up all night? Do we really believe that the power of God within us is greater than anything that can come to us from without and encompasses around us? Doesn't John say in his epistle in 1 John 4 verse 4, "You dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." What is in the world today? The devil's schemes. A world that is turning its back on God all the time. "But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." God gives to us his servants a promise. "You'll not have to face life alone, for when you grow weak in the struggle, his strength will prevail, not your own." I'd just like to finish here and close to read Annie Johnson Flint's poem to you again as I close, but this time I'll read a verse that I didn't read on the beginning. "Pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength, pressed in the body and pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll. Pressure by foes and pressure by friends, pressure on pressure till life nearly ends. Pressed into knowing no helper but God, pressing into loving the staff and the rod. Pressed into liberty where nothing clings, pressed into faith for impossible things. Pressed into tasting the joy of the Lord, pressed into living a Christ life outpoured. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we were being able to ponder the thoughts and the feelings that David felt. We have been able to glean from Scripture and know that you are with us always. Even when we sleep, you give us peace. You surround us and give us rest, free from fears. And we thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.